Yes, it's a very good question. How do you follow that? I'm not going to try because the church are looking at partnering with Compassion. I will talk a bit more to that at the end. Now, I'm going to get a little bit uncomfortable today. I am actually going to be pressing into a few things because I think it's really easy in Australia to shield ourselves from the reality of what goes on in the world. It's actually, especially as COVID has gone on, we've been impacted a bit, and I don't want to downplay the fact that many people have gone through some challenging times, but really on a world scale, we have been so incredibly fortunate. 52,741, that's Lotto this week, no. 52,741, that is what's the most common wage in Australia, not the average wage. The average wage is actually skewed higher because we have so many multimillionaires who earn, like, I think Andrew Forrest earned $1.64 billion this last week because they had a dividend in his company. So this is not the average wage. This is the most common. So the most common wage for a person in Australia is $52,741. If you earn $52,741 per year, you are richer than 99% of the world. So the most common wage in Australia, you are in the top 1% of money in the world. Right, let's bring it down a little bit and just get a little bit more realistic for some, because I know not everybody here earns $52,741. The poverty level in Australia. So what's determined as being poverty in Australia for a family of four? So this is mum, dad and two kids. Earning $47,254 a year. So that's a household income for two parents and two kids. That would be considered the poverty level in Australia. Richer than 81% of the world. You still find yourself in the top 19%. So if you're poor in Australia, you are still considered to be in the top 19% of the richest people in the world. More than one half of the world's population lives below the internationally defined poverty line of less than $2 a day. More than half the world lives on less than $2 a day. And the global church, the church all the way around the world, the church that Jesus came to instigate, to revolutionize the earth, has never been richer. The church is at its richest point in its entire existence. The church has never had as much access to resource as it has today. And I don't share that to completely bring us down. It's hard not to feel a bit like, ooh. Like that actually hurts a bit. As I look at that, and go, I was just born in Australia. I didn't ask to be born here. I was just really, really lucky. Thank you, Mum and Dad. Thank you that you are here and I get to be privileged to be in this place. But I want to look at this today as a church. I want to explore this. There are some questions I want us to look at. The first question I want us to explore as a church, because it's one thing to say those things and leave you sitting there and going, oh, this is not great. I want it to be practical. I want us to think as a church, what's realistic? We can't go and solve world poverty. Don't leave here today going, I'm going to go and solve. Well, unless you really, maybe you can become Richard Branson and you can, start a global empire and raise lots of, maybe that might be you. But for most of us here today, that's not going to be our story. So I want to promise you that by the end of my message today, you will have some tangible ideas of what you can do to make a difference, not to solve everything. That won't be realistic. How do we make a difference in the world beyond Australia? How do we make a difference? Not solve it. How do we make a difference? Should we? It might be a strange question, but should we bother? Like, why should I actually have to feel bad at being privileged to be in Australia? Why should I worry about what's going on in the rest of the world? What do we do with patriotism? It's good to be Australian. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! There we go. We got some Aussies in the house. What do we do with patriotism? What do we do with an Australia first mentality? Is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing? Is there a problem with that? What's the deal? What's God's vantage point? What does God view? How does he see when he looks out? And how might that influence the way that we as followers of Jesus interact in the world? How can Austin Cove best make a difference? So that's the journey today. That's where we're still going to be heading as we go across today and look at what might we be able to do as a church, and why would we? Why would we? Why would we? We're in part two of our vision series. So if you're new with us this week, if you're visiting this week, you've picked a great week to be here. Every week's a great week to be here. But you've picked a great week to be here because we're really launching our vision for the next 10 years. Sorry, eyelash right in front of my eye. Very weird. We're launching our vision for our next 10 years. It's really just a framework. It's things that we can hang things onto across that time. And this is week two. Week two of it. Last week was our launch. We just sort of started talking about it. So I'm going to be spending the next sort of 5 or 6 weeks unpacking what our vision is and tangibly how we can do something about it as a church. If you missed it, this is our vision story. I'm not personally a believer in the bumper sticker vision that you sort of stick somewhere. I want it to tell a story. I want it to be something that you can sort of catch and be a part of as you go through it. So our vision story is this. Between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, encouraging them to encounter God in transformative ways and equipping them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus into the world. That's it. That's all we're doing for the next 10 years. That sounds easy. Okay, maybe not. But that's it. That's the basic premise of everything we will do as a church will somehow be tied into this statement. So what I want to unpack today, what I want you to sort of be able to capture and see and get a bit of a feel for what does this look like with legs on it, is the section looking at engaging people to the ends of the earth. How are we as a church going to engage people to the ends of the earth? And to start this story, we need to start in Matthew chapter 25. So I'd love you to read along with me. You can read on the screen, on your phones, however you want to do it, and capture this as we go. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 33 says this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So we start in this place. You can't get away from this as you look through the Bible. God's concern is for all the nations. God's vantage point is all the nations. God's church is about all the nations. When he calls us together at the end of time, when Jesus returns, which we are so looking forward to, he's not going to care if you're Australian or American or from the Philippines or from Indonesia. That's actually not what's important in the global scheme of things. Now, I love being Australian. I love that I can say Aussie, 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 and people probably go, oi, 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 and then other people not from Australia go, oh my goodness, those Aussies. I love that I'm Australian. But in terms of understanding my place in this world, I need to look to what Paul said when he talked to the Philippians. I need to be reminded constantly, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. What should be held most dear in our hearts, the patriotism that we should hold most dear as followers of Jesus, is that our citizenship is in heaven. And so God calls us as his followers to be about his purposes while we're here on this earth. The passage in Matthew follows on to say this. then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You can kind of imagine the people there, they're kind of looking at, you know, at God as he's saying this and going, but I didn't see you, Jesus. Like, if Jesus came, I would have fed Jesus if he was hungry. I would have fed Jesus if he was not. If he needed some clothes, he could have my clothes. Like, seriously, Jesus, take them now. When did I see you? I didn't see you. Jesus says, whenever you did this for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did this for me. Now, what this is not saying, and you can, this is taken out of context in some cases. This is not saying that works save you. This is not saying that by feeding people you are saved. This is not saying that you do this and by doing that, that's what earns you right into heaven. This is simply saying that feeding the hungry, the thirsty, and the destitute is the natural fruit that comes from someone who knows Jesus. Someone who knows Jesus will just do these things. You can't not. It's just what happens. It's like an apple tree doesn't grow lemons. If it does, you call it a lemon tree, because it's not a lemon tree if it grows apples or oranges. The natural fruit of somebody who knows Jesus is that they will do these things. And God knows that. God knows that at the end of time, when he comes and we stand before him, we're not going to give a long list of all the amazing things we did, because the list of the things we didn't do is probably going to be significantly longer. It is by grace we are saved through faith. But those of us who know Jesus, the fruit is natural. It just happens. And so God knows, and he knows that that's what will happen from his followers. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, and I'm always scared of this being an Australian, like this verse actually captures me a little bit, because I read it and go, you know, I can think that I'm actually not that lucky, but really overall in a world scheme of things, I'm incredibly blessed. And Luke 12, verse 48b says this, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. I actually have to recognize, as an Aussie, much has been entrusted to me. Just being born in this country, much has been entrusted to me. So much will be asked for and expected. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, we find this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And verse 3 is highlighted because this really should be a Christian's life verse. But this is what Jesus did. This is the epitome of Jesus' life. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests. Ooh, that stings a bit. Not looking to your own interests. but each of you to the interests of others. As Paul wrote this to the Philippians, he wanted to compel them to say, it's not about you. If you focus on loving and caring for and looking out for others, and if they do the same, and if they do the same, and if they do the same, it becomes a perfect circle of love and care. But then you might see, but they're not doing it, so I'm missing out. Don't worry about that. Got to worry about that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So what do we do as followers of Jesus? We look to adopt the Christian mindset, the Christ mindset, who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the mindset of Christ. This is what it means to put meat and to put flesh, to put bones on what it means to follow Jesus. It's not about us. I'm being a little bit provocative with my main idea this week, and I'll be honest with that. But here's the one thing I want you to take away from today. Australia first is not God's view. Australia first is not God's view. God's view is the least of these. That little child that's sitting in the Philippines or sitting in Indonesia or sitting in, you know, many other places around the world that's looking for and longing for and dreaming of the day that they have a sponsor. God looks out and his heart breaks because he wants to see that happen. And he taps his church on the shoulder and says, here's one of my, at least of my brothers. Here's one of my sisters. I think sometimes in the West, and particularly in Australia, we can get caught up in the cultural call is always we need to look after our own. We're watching a movie at the moment. It's called The Merger. It's a really, really crazy Aussie about football, which is fun, but it's really fascinating because the whole premise of the movie is that they no longer have enough people for a football team, and so they're having to bring in the refugees, and they're having to let the refugees play on their football team. Oh, those refos, as they call it. That's what they call them, not what I call them. And there's this sort of debate that's going on between them about why would we let them play with us? But if they play with us, do we have a team? And there's all this going between them. But it's fascinating to look at the undercurrents that are being presented of, oh, but we need to have jobs for our people first, because if they take our jobs, we don't have the jobs. And it's not God's view. Australia first is not God's view. But here's the flip side to that. Because you can't make a difference for every kid in China. You can't make a difference for every kid around the world. Recognizing that you can likely make a greater impact locally, and therefore focusing your efforts in that place, is different to deciding local is more important. Here's the reality. You're going to spend more of your time locally. You can probably make a greater impact in South Yundrup, the Peel region, the Shire of Murray, to, you know, those sort of spaces. And so next week we're going to look at, as a church, how do we do that? How do we actually live well where we are placed? God has called us into this area, and so much of our mission and vision will be what we can do here. But never let that make it seem like that means it's more important. So as a church, we actually have a strategy. We have a strategy of how we're going to go, but beyond Austin Cove? What does it look like for us to make a difference to the ends of the earth? How can we do this strategically? How can we do this well? One thing you will learn about me, I've been here 18 months now, but one thing you will learn over time is I try and cut things. I try and get rid of things. I try and minimize things. I'm a very firm believer that you can do more by doing less, by focusing in on a few key places. So as a church, we can't fix the world. Just earlier today, and I'll talk to that in a moment, we actually already have picked a child to sponsor. And we're over at the table there, and there's children there, and you look at, there's about 8 or 9 children still on that table there, and you look at them and go, but their pictures are there. Like, how can I not take them? Because their pictures are there. There's 8 of them. Let's just take them all. No, we can't do that. We can't. That's not realistic. We've taken one. But we can make a difference. So as a church, we are going to be strategic. The best way to actually make a difference is to actually say no to a lot of things. To say yes significantly to a few things. So this is what we're going to do over the next sort of 5 or 10 years. We have 6 key partners. We don't yet, but we're going to. 6 key partners for Beyond Austin Cove. Now, are you going to support things that are outside this 6? Yes, you are. I'm not telling you to stop supporting the things you're already supporting. You will make a great difference by supporting the things you support. But as a church, we're going to have 6 key areas we focus on. And I get phone calls nearly every other week and emails left, right and centre of, oh, here's another cause and can you give us money here? And that's kind of a scattershot approach. That's just not what we're going to do. We're going to have 6. We're going to have 2 local groups. That's somewhere sort of, you know, in Western Australia or, you know, in that kind of space, probably even more local than that. One of them, we already have this. This is one the church has supported for many years. It's called Bridge Builders. At Halloween, we do a new hello. We get people in the community to bring food and we give that to them and they provide that to communities in need. But here's one of the realities of Bridge Builders. They actually need food all year round. Just surprisingly, people in need of food actually need to eat each day. And so one of the ways we're looking to make a small change here, you might have seen a green bin up the back. I was meant to announce this a few weeks ago and then we had to cancel church because Kelsey and I were sick. But you'll see there's a green bin that's right next to the check-in desk. It's got Bridge Builders written on it. What I want you to do, and not necessarily every week, just sort of when you think about it, when you go shopping, buy some pasta. Buy some noodles, buy non-perishable food, buy a couple of tins, an extra couple of tins, like $2. Bring them along with you when you come on Sunday and put them in the bin. The green bin, not the other bin. Make sure you put them in the green bin. And I'll make sure that they get to Bridge Builders that week, that month, you know, thereabouts. That's why it's non-perishable, because they might sit there for a while. But that's something we can do all year round. It's not going to break the bank. And we can make a difference locally by doing that. So that's why the green bin's been sitting there all this time. You've probably been coming, what's this green bin for? That's what it's for. So when you go shopping, just grab a couple of extra items, chuck them in, bring them along with you when you come on Sunday, and we'll make sure we get them through. Second local partner, that's what we're still looking for. I had something in mind, but I'm not convinced that that's actually our best bet at the moment. I'm not in a rush to fill this. If you've got ideas of groups you think would be good, come and have a chat with me. Just don't be offended if I say no, because we are looking to be very strategic. So please do let me know. Just don't come and let me know if you're going to be devastated if I say, yeah, that's not what we're going to do. Cool, you can live with that. I don't want to, like, you know, break you just because I say no to that. So that's one of our areas. So we're going to have 2 local. We have 2 national partners that we're going to partner with. One is a group called Crossover Australia. Crossover resources churches in effective communication of the gospel. They equip pastors and leaders and they facilitate mission predominantly within Australia. So this is a national focus. It is something that is happening within Australia. And the way we do this is that we do a free will offering at our Easter service. So we'll have to work out how to do that this year because we don't, like I said, we don't take up cash at our service. But that's how we facilitate support and Crossover. We do a once a year special offering for them. And so that's one of the ways we can continue to support. A new partnership that we're just picking up now is with an organization called Red Frogs Australia. They support, serve, and safeguard young people. They get involved in high schools. They actually came and spoke here at the school a couple of weeks back. Happened to be my best man, so I may have had coffee with him afterwards. And they came along and they talk with leavers. They do party safe. They go along to universities. They really try and make sure that the next generation of young people actually grow up to become adults and are able to make the difference that God made them to make. And the way we're going to actually contribute to Red Frogs is this is part of our budgeted giving as a church. So we, every year as a church, we determine about 10% of our budget. We aim to have that as our own charitable giving. So you give to us out of your finances. We also choose to replicate as a church and give to a number of agencies. So you don't have to do anything extra, anything special to support this. Just continue to give what you give. And as a church, we'll continue to budget to support Red Frogs Australia. Then we'll have two international partners. One we have is Baptist World Aid. This is a long-standing partnership. We partner with Bangladesh, so that's where some of our funds go. Baptist World Aid partners with local Christian organizations to be love and work alongside poor communities, helping them to end poverty. This, again, is budgeted giving. This is something that we just do. It's in our figures. It comes in. It goes out. It's just the way that we support it. You don't have to do anything else to make a difference here. Probably doesn't come as a surprise to you that our sixth partner is Compassion Australia. So we're looking at doing a partnership with Compassion Australia. They release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And the way you can do this is you can personally sponsor a child. But one of the ways that we're actually going to do this that makes it really special is we're actually doing this as a church partnership. So if you actually go through us to do this, all the children that we sponsor are from the same region. They're all from the same area. And once COVID passes and traveling is possible, we will be looking to do a church exposure trip, mission trip. There's all kinds of language you use around this. We will be looking to go to Indonesia as a church, and you'll have the potential to meet your sponsor child. It's one of the ways you can make a real difference. You would have seen the pictures that Mel put up. She was with them. She's got to go and actually see and be a part of their life. And that's one of the reasons why I actually really do value the way that Compassion does this. It's not just money that you're sending off to some kid in another country that you write a letter for every now and then. They will become part of your family. They will become part of your prayer life. They'll become a part of what you do each and every day. So what does it look like? It's $48 a month. If you do choose to sign up today, when you actually go through the sign-up process, I can say this because I did it just this morning, you'll see that it actually first asks you for $60. The way they work it is that $48 is the cost, but they also ask if you can afford to do $60, the extra $12 goes towards an essential need. It's some need that they know is there, but they recognize not everybody can afford that. So it is only $48. If that's all you can afford, please just do that. It's better to give $48 than nothing. So if that's all you can do, that's what it costs. So $48 per month. Now, we prefer that you do this individually. So we're not going to facilitate this so much as a church, other than we've got the partnership. So you'd come to us to find out what sponsor children. There are some over on the table. So once church finishes today, if you want to go talk, Mel's going to be there. Yes, they have smiling faces. I know there's one kid there that's been waiting for, I think it was 350 days. Our kid had been waiting for 330 days. His name was Billy. It was an easy name for Toby to say, so I'll be honest, that's why I picked it. But there are other kids there. 350, I believe, is the longest. I'd love to see that kid sponsored today. That's nearly a year that kid's been waiting every day wondering, is today the day? Is today the day? So individual is preferred, but if you can't, I can't afford $48 a month. We're happy to look at facilitating some shared sponsorship. So if you really can't do $48, but you could do $24, that's something we can look at doing because we want to make sure that children get sponsored. Because ultimately, here's what we're aiming to do as a church. In July, we're having a representative from Compassion, so another one similar to Mel. So Rodney Olson's he works for Compassion. He'll be coming along and sharing that day. We're going to be calling it Compassion Sunday. And our goal as a church this year is to see 20 children released from poverty, 20 children sponsored in this region. Our goal by 2025 is to actually see 50 people sponsored in that space. So this year, we're wanting to start strong. We're 20 people. That's a fairly significant desire as a church, given where we're at as a church. But I really do believe that we can do it. So you'll find on your seats with you today, there's a little thing. I haven't put pens out, so if you don't have a pen, come and let me know. There are a couple of pens over there. All I want from you today is just your interest level. You don't have to sign up. If you're ready to go, go and see Mel afterwards. Grab a kid today because there are some kids over there. And wouldn't it be great to be able to come back next week and say, we've got 8 sponsored kids already. That would be amazing. But on your sheets, if you just basically take the thing, mark on it, yes, I'm good to go. I think the second one is, I'm interested, I need some more information. Actually, let me put some facts into the equation. So I'm ready to sponsor a child. I'm interested in co-sponsoring, so that's a way you can let me know and I can facilitate that to happen because I can find people that are interested and put you together, or I'd like more information. Then your name and your email. I'd love you to take a moment just to think about that. In a moment, Mel's going to come up and she's actually going to share a song which kind of connects to this. And then Emma's going to come up and wrap up the service. But let me just pray for us as a church. I'm really excited about this partnership. I'm really excited at the difference God's going to make to the ends of the earth for $48 a month. It's pretty awesome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You call us to be your hands and feet. You made us to make a difference. Lord, every child that is represented on that table over there is someone that you fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray that we as a church would make just a small difference in the world today. But for that kid who will get that phone call, who will get that meeting, who will get that appointment, that would know that their wait is over, it changes everything. Lord, I want to pray for those of who might be feeling stirred today, but the realities of our finances are tight. I pray you would help us just to be wise and to be good stewards of what you have for us, and that you would help us to know what you're calling us to in this time. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name.